Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, man charged in Mesa apartment stabbing says PCP use played role, court documents say. Lowell Tucker Dorn, 22, was charged with three counts of attempted second-degree murder and one count of first-degree burglary after he was accused of breaking into a Mesa apartment and stabbing a mother and her two teenage daughters, according to court documents. At about 4:30 a.m. on September 17, Dorn entered the family's apartment near Broadway and Dobson Roads through the unlocked front door, armed with a serrated fixed-blade knife, court documents said. Dorn, who was unknown to all three victims, entered a bedroom where a 16-year-old girl and an 18-year-old girl were sleeping, court documents said. Dorn climbed on top of the younger girl and stabbed her multiple times in the neck and on her hand, according to court documents. Her screams alerted her sister and mother, who rushed to intervene. The mother struck Dorn on the back of the head with a hammer, but Dorn responded by repeatedly stabbing her, causing multiple wounds to her face, arms, and legs, according to court documents. The older daughter tried to grab Dorn and was stabbed three times in her head and once in her neck, court documents said. Dorn continued attacking the mother in the living room until she managed to grab the knife away from him, court documents said. He sustained a laceration to his right hand while trying to retrieve the knife, court documents said. Dorn then struck the mother in the face with an unknown blunt object in an Xbox game system, resulting in a facial fracture and severe swelling to her left eye, according to court documents. All three of the victims were taken to the hospital, where they each received emergency medical treatment for their injuries. Their injuries were later determined to not be life-threatening, according to court documents. Dorn fled the apartment and was captured on surveillance video minutes later, entering a laundry room within the complex, located just west of the victim's apartment, court documents said. Officers found blood droplets and smears on the laundry room door and the ground outside, court documents said. Dorn then fled to a nearby parking lot, removed his shirt, and entered a business complex where a witness saw him wandering. The witness later positively identified Dorn. At about 11 a.m., Tempe police officers detained Dorn after receiving reports of a man matching his description attempting to enter parked cars in a residence near Apache Road. During his post-arrest interview, Dorn admitted to stabbing all three victims multiple times and said he entered the apartment with the intent to kill them despite not knowing any of them. Dorn told police that he had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, borderline personality disorder, anxiety, and depression, but had not taken his medications for about 4 months. However, Dorn also admitted he had recently used marijuana laced with PCP, which he believed contributed to the attack. And that story was, man charged in Mesa apartment stabbing says PCP use played role, court documents say. The next story, Saturday crash kills two in Apache Junction. Two people died Saturday morning after a single vehicle collision near South Goldfield Road and East Old West Highway, Apache Junction police said. The crash occurred about 1:30 a.m. September 20, when the vehicle collided with a utility pole. A man, believed to have been the driver, was pronounced dead at the scene, and a juvenile was taken to a hospital with serious injuries, according to an Apache Junction Police Department release. The juvenile died. No identities have been released. Investigators are working to determine what caused the crash. Northbound Goldfield Road will remain closed for the remainder of the day, police said Saturday morning. That story was Saturday crash kills two in Apache Junction. The next story, officers in Glendale, Mesa, involved in shootings, one person dead. Police officers in Mesa and Glendale shot armed suspects during the early hours of September 18, bringing the number of shootings this year by law enforcement across Arizona past 50. Officers in Mesa shot a 33-year-old man after he allegedly pointed a gun at them outside a home near Mesa Drive and Southern Avenue, according to the city's police officials. Police said officers were called to the home just after midnight for a family fight. When officers arrived, a man came out of a house and aimed a gun at them, prompting two officers to fire their weapons. Officers said investigators determined probable cause does exist for a domestic violence-related charge. The man received medical aid at the scene and was taken to a hospital, where he remained in stable condition and was expected to survive. Once released from the hospital, the suspect will be booked into jail, Mesa police said. No officers or others were hurt. Police did not release the man's name. Tempe Police Department is investigating the shooting as part of the East Valley Critical Incident Response Team. However, Mesa police said it will handle questions about the family fight call. Meanwhile, according to Glendale Police, 28-year-old Adrian Green was shot and killed at a home located near 91st and Glendale Avenues after officers responded to a call for service about a suicidal person just after 12:30 a.m. on September 18. Green was pronounced dead on the scene after two of our officers got into a shooting with him, Glendale Police spokesperson Maroney Mendez said. No officers were hurt. When officers arrived at the location, they found Green standing in a driveway, armed with a gun, according to the department's preliminary investigation. He was on the phone with a crisis hotline, according to preliminary information. The crisis hotline then contacted the police. When officers arrived and tried to approach the man, police say he fired his gun multiple times, prompting them to shoot him. Buckeye Police Department will lead the investigation as part of the West Valley Incident Response Team, a standard protocol for incidents involving police officer use of force. There have been at least 52 police shootings in Arizona so far in 2025, with at least 38 of them fatal. That story was officers in Glendale, Mesa, involved in shootings, one person dead. The next story, Soar Optimist International of the East Valley offers Dream It, Be It, Career Support for Girls program. This 2025-26 club year, Soar Optimist International of the East Valley is leveling up its impact with the Dream It, Be It, Career Support for Girls program. Its mission is simple but powerful, helping young women dream big, build confidence, and create the future they deserve, according to the release. Through a series of monthly interactive workshops to be held at Apache Trail High School in Apache Junction, local high school girls gain real-world tools and mentorship to navigate life's challenges and explore career possibilities. From setting goals and managing stress to discovering personal strengths, the program provides a supportive, empowering space where girls are encouraged to own their potential. Soar Optimist International of the East Valley volunteers bring energy, experience, and heart to every session, inspiring participants to believe in themselves and their ability to succeed. This isn't just a program. It's a movement to prepare the next generation of leaders, innovators, and change makers, the release states. Join the organization in empowering local women and girls by donating to support scholarships and programs via Zelle at treasurer@sieastvalley.com. Becoming a member and helping make an event make an even greater impact. Learn more about events, scholarships, and volunteer opportunities at https://sieve.clubexpress.com. Contact Soar Optimist International of the East Valley at sieastvalley@sooroptimist.net. And that story was Soar Optimist International of the East Valley offers Dream It, Be It, Career Support for Girls program. The next story, these are the 8 best menus to try during Fall Arizona Restaurant Week. Arizona Restaurant Week returns for its 2025 fall edition from September 19 to 28. If you're new to the event, here's the scoop. Twice a year, participating Arizona restaurants roll out 3 or 4 course prefix menus priced at $33, $44, or $55. This is a budget-friendly way to experience restaurants that might usually be out of reach or finally get to a spot you've been meaning to try. For example, this is the time to find answers to your burning questions about that $64 pasta or a $21 slice of carrot cake at $3.33, since they are both part of a $55 tasting menu. With over 200 participating venues, it can be difficult to choose. So I have done a bit of the legwork for you. Here are 8 restaurants to move to the top of your list for Arizona Restaurant Week. Beckett's Table. 3 courses, $55 per person, dine-in only. I'm recommending this restaurant for those who haven't tried or have tried and love Chef Justin Beckett's upscale take on comfort food. The food is as consistent as the great service. For Restaurant Week, his menu includes choice of an appetizer like Noble Toast with curry hummus, heirloom carrot herb salad and charred orange vinaigrette, toasted seeds, followed by a choice of beef bourguignon, shepherd stew, sautéed shrimp and smoked salmon pasta, deconstructed chicken pot pie, or roasted vegetable enchilada. For dessert, it's carrot cake or a flourless chocolate cake with vanilla creme anglaise and a white chocolate and hazelnut crumble. Pro tip, he makes one of the best pecan pies. It's actually a fig and pecan pie, which he serves with a scoop of cream cheese and lemon zest ice cream. If you have the chance, order it. 3717 East Indian School Road, Phoenix, 602-954-1700, beckettstable.com. Espiritu, 3 courses, $55 per person, dine-in only. Try a 3-course menu by 2024 James Beard semifinalist for Best Emerging Chef Roberto Centeno at Espiritu, one of the Arizona Republic's 100 essential restaurants. Start with either pan con tomate topped with goat cheese and Iberico or steak tartare with chiltepín creme fraiche. For the second course, choose between a grilled stone fruit salad with peach vinaigrette or a chayote salad with piña vinaigrette and goat cheese. End with a choice of cold smoked sea bream with a savory broth or Sonoran noodles with carne deshebrada, pork demi, udon, cilantro, and scallion. 123 West Main Street, Mesa, 480-398-8129, espiritumesa.com. Fabio on Fire, 3 courses, $44 to $55 per person, dine-in or take-out. Chef Fabio Seschetti combines recipes from his grandparents in Puglia with his culinary school background and ingredient-focused philosophy. The resulting cuisine has made him a longtime favorite on the West Side. For Arizona Restaurant Week, he's offering 2 menus. The $44 Fuoco Fire menu starts with choices like lightly breaded calamari, porchetta with rosemary focaccia, or fried short rib ravioli, followed by entrees such as a Bianca Parma pizza, spinach ravioli, pappardelle with porcini mushrooms, or orecchiette with sausage and broccolini. The $55 Grande Fuoco Big Fire menu upgrades to options like pan-seared sea scallops or tagliolini allo scoglio with clams, mussels, calamari, and prawns, plus lobster tagliolini or halibut in a white wine and marinara sauce. Both menus end with a scoop of house-made gelato. Seschetti's sister restaurant, Fabio Panini and Gelateria, is also participating in Arizona Restaurant Week. While the price point varies between $33 and $55, if you can, try 4 paninis for $55. Basically, it allows you to curate your own sandwich tasting menu. And trust me, his sandwiches are amazing. 8275 West Lake Pleasant Parkway, number 101, Peoria. 623-680-5385, fabioonfire.com. Filthy Animal, 3 courses, $33 to $55 per person, dine-in only. Filthy Animal, a newly opened restaurant from Pretty Decent Concepts, offers a wood-fired Argentinian-inspired menu. Since I missed their spring restaurant week, I'd love to try their fall offerings, which consist of small, main, and dessert options, with the main dish selection determining the price. Small plate options include items like pibil dumplings and a cheddar and kimchi croquette with red chili aioli. The mains include wood-fired napa cabbage, made with chili and soy plant butter, vegan cashew parm, and mala spice for $33. Ancho chili glazed pork chop, made with linguica fried rice, chive, and ancho chili glaze for $44. And a center cut filet with grilled peewee potatoes, baby arugula, red cocho vinaigrette, ricotta salata, and sesame chimichurri for $55. Dessert options include miso cheesecake and ice cream cake. 740 South Mill Avenue, Suite 140, Tempe, 480-397-1046. This is filthyanimal.com. Indie Bar. Four courses, $55 per person. I enjoyed Indie Bar for its beautifully presented, modern take on Indian food. For Restaurant Week, the restaurant is offering two options for appetizers, four for mains, and two desserts. Appetizer options include vegetarian and non-vegetarian platters, while the main selections include dishes like sag keema, made of minced lamb, spinach, and tomatoes, as well as paneer kalimirch, prepared with cottage cheese, black pepper, and cashews. All mains are accompanied by dal miloni, saffron rice, and raita. For dessert, choose between a piña colada-inspired dessert made with Valerona, manjari, coconut textures, and pineapple, or take on chai and biscuit made with parle g crumble, chai ice cream, and ginger. Both are favorites of chef and partner Nigel Lobo. 6208 North Scottsdale Road, Paradise Valley, 480-219-9774, theindiebar.com. Latha. Three courses, $55 per person, dine-in only. If you haven't tried the Pan-African menu at Latha, Swahili for flavor, Restaurant Week is a great excuse to head to the intimate yet lively Heritage Square restaurant. For Restaurant Week, the three-course menu features starters such as tamarind barbacoa wings with suya and kumquat, mains like vegetable moqueca and adobo-rubbed pork chop, plus a caramelized passion fruit and southern pound cake for dessert. 628 East Adams Street, Phoenix, lathaphoenix.com. Renata's Hearth. Three courses, $55 per person, dine-in only. Located at the Arizona Biltmore, Renata's Hearth offers a Latin-inspired menu that is consistently solid. Some of the menu items for Restaurant Week include sea bass and blue crab ceviche for the first course. Order a tetela made with corn masa, carnitas, queso chihuahua, hoja santa leaf, and salsa verde, or a salad for the second course. Then decide between 10-hour pecan and mesquite smoked wagyu brisket, or monkfish with squash, or vegetarian flautas for your third course. Guests can enhance their meal by purchasing a wine pairing for an additional $65. 2400 East Missouri Avenue, Phoenix, 602-954-2507, renatashearth.com. Cell. Three courses, $55, dine-in only. In its intimate, modern setting, Cell typically offers a three-course menu for $90 and a five-course for $120, so Restaurant Week is a really unique chance to experience the food at a more affordable price point. For Restaurant Week, Cell is featuring three different tasting menus, land, sea, and garden. Each are three courses with options to add a wine pairing, $74, and dessert, $14, for an additional cost. At Cell, every tasting menu begins with roasted tomato soup and a truffle burrata grilled cheese. From there, the sea menu highlights five-spiced grilled prawn followed by thyme-seared New Zealand salmon. The land menu moves from bluefin tuna tartare to prime hanger steak with celeriac black truffle potato puree. And the garden menu goes vegetarian with roasted ratatouille and ricotta gnocchi. For dessert, choose between strawberry marzipan shortcake or a flourless chocolate tiramisu. 7044 East Main Street, Scottsdale, 480-949-6296, cellrestaurant.com. And that story was, these are the eight best menus to try during Fall Arizona Restaurant Week. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. The next story, Apache Junction Council approves 100-unit multifamily rental development. A two-story, 100-unit multifamily townhomes rental development called Skyline Towns is planned at the northwest corner of Winchester Road and Junction Street in Apache Junction, much to the dismay of some longtime residents who worry the city is moving away from its rural roots. The Apache Junction City Council on September 3 voted 6-1 to rezone the property for the development. Vice Mayor Robert Schroeder said his no vote was due to the owner of the property not attending the meeting. The Apache Junction Planning and Zoning Commission voted 4-1 on July 22 to recommend the City Council approve rezoning three parcels from city center and general rural low-density single-family detached residential to high-density multiple-family residential by planned development to facilitate a lot combination and development construction. Commissioner Ari Callan dissented. Commissioner Roy Starr was absent. A gated community is planned with the main entrance off Junction Street and an exit only off of Winchester, planner Erica Hernandez said during the July 22 commission meeting. There is a 6-foot perimeter wall and a total of 400 parking spaces that is a combination of garage parking, driveway parking, guest parking, and ADA parking spaces. I will note that they do exceed the required parking, she said. Amenities include a clubhouse, pickleball courts, pool and spa, tot lot, green spaces, and an 8-foot-wide multi-use trail along Winchester and Junction Streets. A dog park is planned on the northwest corner, Hernandez said. The applicant seeks the following deviations from the city's zoning ordinance. A reduction in the main structure front setback from 20 feet to 15 feet to allow for a 6-foot concrete masonry unit perimeter wall, which also acts as a rear yard walls for units along Junction Street. A reduction in interior side setbacks from 10 feet to 5 feet to accommodate 5-foot rear covered patios, and a reduction in rear setbacks from 20 feet to 5 feet to accommodate 5-foot rear covered patios. Staff is supportive of the proposed rezoning request because of its general conformance with the zoning ordinance and the 2020 general plan. Aside from the requested deviations, the applicant has met site plan and design requirements, Hernandez wrote in a staff memo to the commission. According to the Pinal County Assessor, the parcels have never been developed. Reese Anderson of Pew and Lake is the applicant. Skyline QOZB LLC is the owner. Brendan Mayer of EPS Group Inc., representing Skyline QOZB LLC, also known to the city as Bella Flor Communities, on August 26, 2024, applied for a pre-application review for a proposed rezoning for the development of then parcel numbers 101-19-0220, 101-19-023B, and 101-19-023C with the intent of performing a lot combination and constructing a two-story, 100-unit multifamily rental development, it states in the memo. The Skyline Towns townhome rental community would offer 2- and 3-bedroom units in 5 3-plex buildings and 17 5-plex buildings with 100 units in total, according to a written project narrative. The townhomes are two stories with a building height of 26 feet 6 inches. The clubhouse is located at the entrance of the community, it states. As seen on the landscape plans, the community is providing lush landscaping throughout and provides a variety of 24-inch box trees along the streets and perimeter of the project. The dog park is located in the far northeast corner of the site, which is also well screened with large trees, it states. Chair Dave Hanchey and Vice Chair Robin Barker attended the meeting in person. Commissioners Jesse Gage, Callan, and Sandra Mikeland attended by phone. Gage said prior to the vote he was in favor of the rezoning. I think this rezoning is a good fit with the general plan. I hate us giving up setbacks, but the justifications for it that you put in your report made me quite happy. It's good to see that. So I'm happy with it, he said. Callan asked if the homes could be changed to condos or townhomes that could be bought instead of rented. The answer is they could in the future. Right now these are planned for rental units, Anderson of applicant Pew and Lake said. During the meeting's public hearing, Apache Junction resident Deborah Stone questioned why so much development is coming to the city. I don't live near that area, but we do have a home on Junction and Star. And all these other communities popping up are very concerning to me because I moved here to get out of the city. I don't like it at all, she said. This shouldn't happen. We need our desert. We need our horses. 400 cars? Double that, and how many people are going to live there? Howard Stone told commissioners he has seen a lot of changes in Apache Junction in the 35 years he has lived here. I hate to say it, but a lot of it has not been good. I've seen a lot of icons that brought me to this town disappear. I've seen a lot of development going on around here that really concerns me because we have water issues as it is, and how they are stepping around getting around this is beyond me, he said. Most of us moved out here to be in a rural area, not to end up being another Tempe, another Gilbert, another Phoenix. Barker said she has lived in Apache Junction for more than 50 years. Watching it grow is both sad and wonderful. It's going to grow. We can't stop the growth. We cannot put a gate around our city and fence it off and say, no, 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 sorry. So our best bet is to do the very best we can of having the growth be as much for the betterment of the future as we can, she said. This particular development fits right in to that area. The city's general plan, which was approved by voters, allows for such a development in the downtown area, Hans, she said. It fits in with what the city has planned for the new downtown area, he said. This will put a lot of people within walking distance to that area. Callan said he agreed with Deborah Stone's comments. We know what a gem we have here, and at some point we have to take a stand, because there's a lot of voices in the city I hear every day about stuff that keeps growing. We're going to grow. It's going to happen, he said. We've got a beautiful new southern expansion of AJ that fits a lot of the stuff that we've been looking at. Fits perfectly down there, where historic AJ can still be a rural, quaint, exciting, different kind of feel for a city. The reason why, like we heard the First Lady and the other people, why they moved out here. The primary duties of the Planning and Zoning Commission include community contact regarding items, including a zoning change request, to an application from a developer for shopping center development or housing projects. Also included are conditional use permits, with the final decision being handled at the Planning and Zoning Commission level, according to the city's website. And that story was Apache Junction Council approves 100-unit multifamily rental development. The next story, fight leads to deadly shooting at Mesa apartment complex. One person died and another was seriously injured after a shooting at a party in South Mesa early on September 15, according to the Mesa police. At about 2:11 a.m., police were called to reports of a shooting at an apartment complex near Gilbert Road and the U.S. 60, according to Detective Jesse Macias, a Mesa Police Department spokesman. The gunfire happened after a fight at the party, and it left one person dead and another with life-threatening injuries, according to Macias. Police were interviewing eyewitnesses as homicide detectives arrived on scene, he added. It was not immediately clear what prompted the fight and shooting, or whether whoever fired the gun was involved in the fight. An update was expected later on September 15, according to Macias. That story was Fight Leads to Deadly Shooting at Mesa Apartment Complex. This has been East Valley News, covering the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Now stay tuned for more excellent content on Sun Sounds of Arizona.